For the next hour, Dick visits with area high school coaches. Now here's Dick with the Coaches Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman doing the report again, and Paul Raymall back in the control panel seat. Go through some scores from last night. Lackawanna Valley over Yellow Medicine East. I've got two scores for YME, 33-19, and another source that was 33-16. And Tony will let us know what the correct score was. But we know that Lackawanna had a great second half, especially the fourth quarter, and won that game. Our next week's opponent and homecoming opponent will be Ortonville, and they were tied with Lakeview a lot, kind of like the Eagles were with YME, and pulled it out in the fourth quarter. 16-7 was the final game that you heard live on Q92 last night by Paul Ramo. Dawson Boyd all over Camby, the score anyway, 56-6. Camby hung in there, but some big plays by the Blackjacks put up those 56 points. Mineota kept rolling along as they defeated Springfield 47-16, as did Bold as they shut out Montevideo 56-0. Other scores, Maury County Central 28-10, Tracy Milroy Belton over Sleepy Eye in a close one, 28-22. Minnewaska defeated Sauk Center 44-14. Osakis in a low-scoring affair, 14 over Morris Area 6. ACGC 54 and Benson 19, Melrose 28-18 over Maple Lake. KMS in the slugfest 30-24 over Parker's Prairie in Redwood Valley in a low-scoring affair, 7-0 over Jackson County Central. Well, that brings us up to our game then, Tony. What was that final score?
Final score was 33-19.
Okay, 33-19. Okay, that's one of the scores that I had. So,
yep.
Yeah. Well, it was 7-7. You scored first, and then they tied it up, and then fourth quarter was a big one for you.
Well, yeah, we had actually scored on our first possession. Wyatt Alverson went 73 yards.
Wow.
On just kind of a little quarterback iso, and down the sidelines he went. And that was really the only score. Well, that was the only scoring in the first half. So it was 7-0 at halftime.
Okay.
As we went in. And then in the third quarter, we got the ball to start with, and I believe we went 3-and-out. And then they were able to get the ball, and then they put a drive together and scored. Angel Jimenez scored from 1 yard out to make the score 7-7. And then, yet still in the third quarter, Wyatt Halverson to Caden Bjornhild on a 34-yard touchdown pass. Extra point was good to make it 14-7. And then this is where it kind of got all crazy. then early in the fourth quarter, YME scored to make it 13-14. They missed the extra point. We got the ball, and we were able to put a drive together in Wyatt Halverson for 54 yards. And then we missed the extra point. So now the score is 20-13. YME, then in the fourth quarter, they put a drive together, had a 1 yard touchdown run by Angel Jimenez. They went for two, and there was probably about 2 minutes left in the game, and maybe right on 2 minutes when they scored that touchdown, and they decided to go for 2 points and the lead. Well, the football gods were in our favor, and they fumbled the snap, and so they weren't even able to get a playoff to make the score at that point in time, 20-19. And then there was, you know, they kicked off. They kicked it deep to us, we ran a play kind of in the middle of the field, and they called a timeout, and I asked Leighton, I said, "You got a run in you here?" He said, "Oh, yeah, yep." Well, gave it to him, and around the right edge, he went for 73 yards.
Oh, wow.
And our fans went nuts. Our sideline went nuts, and we were able to kick the extra point. So now we're up, feeling a little bit more confident, and now we're up 8. And then on the ensuing drive, I think it was like 2 plays into that drive, Caden Bierneel stepped in front of Angel Jimenez's pass and intercepted it for a 22-yard touchdown interception return. And that kind of sealed it for us. And it was you never really felt very comfortable until we finally had that last possession where we could go with the victory formation and could kind of melt the clock away. So, yeah, it was an entertaining fourth quarter, entertaining second half, definitely.
Okay. Well, good job on the summary of the scoring and when it happened, but now some of the statistics for the game.
Okay. Passing, Wyatt was 5 of 12 for 105 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, they did some things a little differently. They played some cover two, had their corners up tight, so we had to make some adjustments a little bit in our pass game, and we just missed on a couple of other big plays too in the pass game, but we were able to come away with that big one there. We actually completed, I think it was like 3rd and 25, and we were able to complete a long pass for a first down, so we had some big plays in the passing game. Receiving-wise, Caden Bierneel had 2 receptions for 64 yards. Jacob Ransom had 1 reception for 13. Leighton Whitnable had 2 receptions for 28. And then Wyatt actually caught a pass as well, so he had 1 reception for 6 yards. I should go back to the passing piece. Mason Clark was 1 for 1 for 6 yards, so you can kind of figure out who threw it and who caught it on that one. And then rushing, this is where... You know, we kind of plugged away inside a little bit, and we were able to get some big plays off tackle. Wyatt had 13 attempts for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jacob Ransom, 2 carries for 6 yards. Dane Hawes, 13 carries for 67 yards. And then Leighton Whitnable, 8 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. I think we ended up with over 400 yards of total offense, and it really didn't feel like that, but when you put in a 73-yarder and a 74-yarder and a 54-yarder, those start to add up in a hurry.
Right. Defensively?
Defensively, Caden Bierneel had 3 tackles, like I had mentioned, the interception and for the touchdown. Jacob Ransom had 3 tackles. Tanner Buffington had 4 tackles. He came in. Jacob Ransom had injured his thumb. And Tanner Buffington came in and really did a nice job at corner. They kind of tested him early with some routes and with some balls his way. And he did a great job defending that. And that kind of ended them trying to go there. Mason Clark had 7 tackles. Dane Hawes had 12 tackles. Leighton Whitnable had 14 tackles, 5 of them for loss. Trevor Gearman had 6 tackles. He had a fumble recovery. Colton Mortensen, he came in and played some defensive end. He did a very nice job there for us. He had a sack. He had a fumble recovery. Derek Jenny had 4 tackles. He had a fumble recovery. So kind of some people around the ball. And I thought last night, too, defensively, We made some big plays when we needed to. You know, that was kind of the theme of the night there was the big play. And we stepped up with some nice stands defensively early in the game to keep the score 7-0 at halftime.
Well, you mentioned running the ball pretty much up the middle from tackle to tackle, so the offensive line did a nice job.
Yeah, and they switched around a bunch. They were in a 5-man front, and then they were in a 4-man front, and they switched around kind of what their 5-man front looked like. And we felt like they were trying to take away our fly sweep, so they had some guys on the edge, so we needed to try to get inside of there a little bit. We did some nice things on some counters and some draws, but we just went with a quarterback ISO on a couple of those, and Wyatt had a huge chunk of yardage. So
yeah.
Lyman did a nice job. Trinity and Coots and Gearman, Drugsma, and then also Derek Jenny. So it wasn't perfect, and most of them aren't going to be, but we found a way to win.
Yeah, for sure, and that's good. That's what counts. Well, that evens your record now at 3-3 with a couple games to go, and a big one coming up on Friday with homecoming.
Yeah, we had talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I told the guys, I said, let's not take a look at what's behind us when we were 1-3. I said, let's take a look forward here, and our goal is to get to 3-0 in the next three. And so we've managed, we've clawed, we've scratched, we've kicked, we've done everything that we've needed to get to 2-0. And so now this one's big. If we can get to this one, this would help us as far as getting a home playoff game come seeding time. So it's big, not only because of homecoming and all of the hoopla that goes with it and all the activities, and it's going to be a great week, a tiring week, but a great week nonetheless, and then kind of sum it all up with that game on Friday night. So, it's big. It's big on a lot of levels.
Okay. Your other teams, JV and junior high?
JV, last week, they went to Canby and won 14-13, I believe, or 16-13. So they did a nice job down there. They've got one game left. They're going to play here on Monday night. Because of coronation being at the time that it is, we're going to bump up that game to 4:30 on Monday. So we'll have the JV on Monday at 4:30. Then junior high finishes up their season this week. Tuesday they play at home against McRae, and then on Thursday they are home. Excuse me. Tuesday they're against Ortonville, and Thursday they're against McRae. Both of them home. So our football field is going to get a workout this week: Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Speaking of that, boy, the one game that I was out there announcing and that the field looks fantastic.
You know, there's a lot of comments. Denny, I'm drawing a blank on his last name, the head football coach at New Ulm Cathedral. And when they were out here, I'd asked him, I said, did you ever think you were going to arrive? And he kind of laughed a little bit, and he said, but gosh, what a facility. He said, this is probably the nicest field we'll play on all year.
Yeah.
And, it's beautiful. So hats off to custodial staff and all the work that goes into that.
Well, Mother Nature helped out, too, a little bit with
all
the rains. And I know you try to keep off it as much as you can until Thursday during the week, and also probably the Phi Ed classes stay off it, too. So that helps a lot, too. And you haven't played in the rain yet at home anyway, so it gets dug up when that happens. But
last night, as it was kind of misting and doing whatever, I mean, you could start to see some kids were losing some traction out there. And those white uniforms are going to work in that washing machine this weekend.
Yeah.
Trying to clean out those dirt stains. But
well, coaches don't mind that as long as they get muddy in front. When they get muddy behind the uniform, then that's not a good sign.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, as always, hey, the coaches, hey, you know, we can wash that. And then the moms are like, hey, this isn't as, or moms or dads, I guess I should say, this isn't as easy as it's going to look to try to get this thing white again.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, that's a great way to start the homecoming week. Like you said, lots of festivities, starting with the coronation on Monday and all the different dress-up days throughout the week. And your team is, I think, mature enough that they can go along with all the hoopla, but when it comes Friday, they'll get their game faces on.
Absolutely, and that's the way, Ortonville is, last year was going back 2 years, I think it was 14-13 here in the rain, and it was a good game and a lot of action. And then last year with the guy running the scoreboard probably had to ice his hand down with the number of points that we put up. That was a crazy game. So I'm not really expecting anything less coming this week.
Well, it's a good, clean rivalry, and that's all you can hope for. So.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for the talk. Best of luck all week long, and injury-free in practice. I think bumps and bruises is normal coming out of the game, but should be ready to rock and roll next Friday. Game change or time change, it'll be a little bit later, starting at 7:15. Paul Ramo will be out there, so have your headsets on and listen to him. He always makes it exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Meander into the Chippewa County DFL campaign headquarters this Saturday, October 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. For the first time, the Chippewa County DFL has rented campaign space on the north end of Main Street in Montevideo at 408 North 1st Street. Open house with root beer floats served from 2 to 4 p.m. Mingle with fellow DFLers and pick up your lawn and yard signs. Also visit with Lyle Coonan, candidate for State House. That's this Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. at 408 North 1st Street in Montevideo. We hope to see you there. Prepared and paid for by the Chippewa County DFL, Paul Schwartz, Chair.
This is Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. Join me Tuesday night from Dawson Boyd High School as the Blackjacks host the Lacaparra Valley Eagles in a Camden Conference volleyball matchup. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Dawson Boyd and Lacaparra Valley volleyball teams have come together with a Together We Fight fundraiser for the Lacaparra Hope Network. So join me Tuesday for volleyball. It's the Blackjacks and the Eagles. 7:30, first serve, right here on Q92.
The Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to Oktoberfest, October 3rd through the 7th. Round the town rummage sales will be going on Friday and Saturday. Check the map in the Western Guard. The Oktoberfest car show is Saturday. The airfare at the Lac Pearl Airport south of Madison happening on Sunday. Just some of the activities going on during Oktoberfest in Madison, October 3rd through the 7th. Brought to you by the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce.
Thrifty White Community Health Corner.
Hi, this is Christy Zeeb, pharmacist at Thrifty White Pharmacy in Madison. Get your flu shot, not the flu. The flu vaccine is the best way to prevent seasonal flu. October is a good month to get your vaccine for longer protection during the flu season. Flu shots are available at Thrifty White Pharmacy in Madison. Stop in today. No appointment necessary, and walk-ins are always welcome.
Wouldn't you rather buy your insurance from a friend you can depend on, like the United Prairie Agency? Their agents work very hard to be just that, dependable insurance friends to each policyholder. You'll find them committed to excellence in insurance products, fair competitive rates, and above all, top-flight service. United Prairie Agency, a friend you can depend on. And now's the time to stop in and update your coverage. That's United Prairie Agency, located in the United Prairie Bank Building in Madison, or give them a call at 598-7541.
Every American farmer works hard. It's a given. And at Golden Harvest Seed Company, we believe that seed performance should be a given too. We are rooted in genetics, agronomy, and service to help you deliver a better performance in each of your fields. Your success is our success, so put us to work for you. Visit goldenharvestseeds.com or contact your local Golden Harvest Seed Advisor today. For Canby area, contact Cody Morris with Tri-County Ag at 507-530-1567.
All right, welcome back. John Sherb on the line here. He's having practice, but he's watching the kids run right now. But two events this past week. I'm on a video and then went down to where the section tournament will be a little bit later on in Laverne.
Right, yeah. We went to Monty on Tuesday. Monty is just, it's a good meet to find out, you know, where we're at. Also, we did some changes because we held out our seven boys, seven girls out. So it's also a good opportunity for our, you know, our seven boys on that JV who are kind of fighting that spot just to show how deep this team is. And they really showed up nice, and that was good to see. Junior high girls, they ran 2,200 meters. Atiana Specht was seventh at 9:53, and Michaela Winty was in eighth at 9:59. Junior high boys, Eli Hagelin got into a real good race there, a young kid from Marshall, very talented also, so it was a good race for him to find out where he's at. He won, again, went 7:49, the same course as the girls ran. Isaac Conover was seventh at 8:28, Gavin Stoltz, 8:31, James Weber was ninth, at 8:33. Justin Perkins was at 8:42, and he was in 13th spot. Charlie Will was in 22nd at 8:58. Jordan Perkins was 25th at 9:01. Ethan Hursom was in 30th at 9:34. Then in the varsity boys, like I said, with varsity boys, we ran with our basically 8th, 9th, just to kind of see what they can do and just let them have some fun, just prove where they're at. And I thought they handled themselves very well and showed they can run with the kids there. Darius Fenske was our top runner. He was 17th on a 5,000-meter course at 18:37. Caden Allpress was in 19th at 18:54. Caleb Johnson was in 20th, right behind Caden at 19 flat. Then Evan Hagelin was 22nd, 19:10. Brandon Krosh was in 31st at 19:48. And Gavin Fernals was 35th at 19:55. Ryder Drugs was 37th at 20:06. And Austin Colloff was 41st at 20:21. And the crew got third, which I'm very impressed with the way they handled it. You know, Marshall and Benson won. Marshall was first at 26. Benson was second at 59. We were at 109, and Monty was at 140. Ortonville, 147, 155 for Lakeview. Southwest Christian, 192. Bold, 202. Wyoming at 208. And then McCurry at 215. JV boys, we ran the other guys down JV, and Tristan Rochelle had a really nice race, you know, kind of get out of the limelight, you know, have a lot of guys in front of him. He finished 10th, which is a good one for him. I think that's near his season best at 21:02. Then we also had Ryan Lund at 22nd, 22:33. Mateo Garcia was 23rd at 22:38. Lucas Vosick was in 34th at 23:14. And Jack Kennedy was 47th at 24:58, and that was a 5K course they ran there. JV girls, Annika Trigested is slowly starting to come into where she can, and she was first with 23:39. Emma Tenoff was second at 23:54, and I believe both those two, that's PRs for them also, for the season PRs this year. Emily Kennedy was fourth at 25:34. Reagan Johnson was eighth at 26:33. So, you know, it was good to see where those JVers chance to run there. So it was good. Cool day in Monty on Tuesday, but it got worse when we went down to Laverne on Thursday. But, again, you got to handle the conditions, whatever. And, you know, I thought we really, you know, did some nice things down at Laverne on Thursday. And you know, so like we said earlier, it's a section course, and so that's what we wanted to see, what it's going to look like, how it runs, and also see, you know, on the girls' side, Laverne team that's ranked third in state, and just see where we fit in there. Junior high boys and girls, they ran together. I'm going to try to split this the best I can here. They gave us one paper with basically the results together. So Eli Hagelin was gone sick, which would have been a good race for him with Laverne. Laverne's got a really nice young runner down there, too. It would have been good for him to get in there. But without him. But James Weber continues to run well as a 7th grader. He was 11th down there at 13:18. It was about, I want to say it was 2 miles, of course, was they ran down there. Isaac Conover was 12th at 13:19. Atiana Speck was 14th on the junior high girls at 15:36. And McKaylee Wente was 16th on the girls at 15:44. Justin Perkins was 18th at 13:32. Jordan Perkins was 22nd at 13:50. Gavin Stoltz was 24th at 13:57. To the back here, Charlie Will was 32nd. At 14:37, and Ethan Hursom was 37th at 15:37. Going into the varsity girls race, that was kind of the one that we wanted to figure out where we're at with Laverne, also to see where we fit with anybody else, and really turned. Unfortunately, Laverne's number three gal was sick, so they didn't run her. But it was good for us to see the course and continuing what we need to keep working on. I thought we had some good steps. Isabel Sherm didn't quite have the normal get out like she does, but she still is fifth at 20:04. Annika Fernals is really starting to come on with her time. She broke 21. She was 20:41 and sixth. Grace Hagelin was seventh, 21 flat. Taylor Shelsa was 14th at 21:23. Alex Stitt was 24th at 22:04, which I think is a PR for her. Josie Sherb was 31st at 22:51. That's a PR for her also. And Georgia Will was 32nd. Also, that's a season best for her at 23. We ended up getting second. Laverne beat us by five without their number three, so they were 51st. We were second at 55. Pipestone girls really stepped up. Was kind of a little bit surprised. They were 70. And Canby was fourth at 72, Ortonville 155, Monty at 160, and Adrian at 161. So it was, like I said, just kind of a mirror to where we're at. Varsity boys really didn't know Laverne, you know, where they're at with what they've got. But I know they've got, they had one boy we knew that qualified in the state in the mile, so we kind of figured he'd be in there. Our top boys are continuing to do what they need to do, and you know, Mike and Zeke working off each other is so big for us. A nice 1-2 punch there. It doesn't matter who's one, who's two. It's just helping this team to advance where we're at. And Mike won it with a time of 16:47. Zeke Sather was second at 17:04. Mason Bramer was third at 17:22. Griffin Johnson was fifth at 17:28. Ian Allpress was 11th at 17:50. Colby Duth was 16th at 18:22. Darius Fenske was 17th at 8:26. Peyton Sterer was 22nd at 18:38. Evan Hagelin was 23rd at 18:47. Caden Allpress was 24th at 18:51. So, you know, it was good that way. To, you know, we got extra than 10. We won it with 22. Laverne was second with 41. Canby was third at 75. Pipestone 133, 142 for Monty, 177 for Lakeview, 181 for Windham, and then Ortonville at 203. I did forget Annika Trigas did in the varsity girl. She was 42nd. 23:58, so she was also in that crew because we were able to run more than our seven. Yeah. JV boys and girls
John,
were combined.
I'm going to interrupt just for
yep.
a second.
Yep.
Did you say Colby?
Colby Duth? Yeah. I thought I said Colby Duth. I may have missed Colby because, again, with papers, I've got to see. Let me see. Blah, 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 real fast here. Colby.
He was
Colby Duth was 16th at 18:22, so right. Hopefully I didn't miss him. We'll give him extra. If we didn't, we'd give him an extra talk, so it's no big deal there.
Okay.
At least we get that. But thank you.
Yeah.
And then in the 3,200 for, they ran, actually, 5K for the JV boys and girls. Caleb Johnson really looked good. He won it with 18:55. That's a PR for him. First time he's broken 19 minutes. Gavin Fernals was fourth at 20:07. Austin Calloff was fifth at 20:10. Emily Kennedy was fifth in the JV girls at 24:56. Ryder Drugsma was sixth at 20:12. Brandon Crosh is seventh at 20:15. Isabel Stender was 7th in the JV girls at 25:27. Tristan Rochelle was 11th at 20:38 in there. And then Reagan Johnson was 11th on the JV girls at 26:24. And Ryan Lund was 18th at 21:29. Lucas Vosick was 29th at 22:33. And Mateo Garcia was 39th at 23:20. And Jack Kennedy was 55th at 24:50. So just a real good meet for us to see where we're at. You know, just again, see the section course. You know, that's 3 weeks away, so it was a good feeling. And the conditions were not good. Started out with junior high kids running in cold east wind, and then by the time we got to the varsity boys, it was raining. And then by the time we got to the JV, it was raining really good. And they were soaked and cold, and you know, so it was a good extreme measure to see how we can handle the cool weather.
Okay. Next week?
Next week we go Monday at Benson, which will be kind of, you know, it'll be some of the northern ones we don't see, kind of a low-key kind of getting down a little bit. Weather does not sound the greatest for the next 5 days after today, so who knows what we're going to see on Monday, but again, rain or whatever, we've just got to handle the conditions. We've got to continue to remember where our goal is down the road, and that's what I think the kids are really catching on, understanding that what our whole focus is, and just to get better. So,
the
1-1. So,
just so you know, Paul Ramo will be up there. He hasn't been able to see your team's run, so he's going to be up there, rain or shine. So he'll be like the mailman. So
no, he'll be the mailman. Yeah, that'll be a 4:30 start up there,
okay.
In Benson.
Thanks, John. Good job.
No problem. And, thank you.
Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
That's John Cherub on Cross Country. We'll take this break and be back with more of the Culture Show after this.
Comerford Construction and Gravel of Danvers, serving our entire Q92 listening area, can handle all of your aggregate needs, including rock, crushed gravel, washed sand, and washed rock. Plus, they'll do your excavation work, including drag line, dozer work, land clearing, demolition, drainage ditches, and hydraulic excavator work. Call 320-567-2335. That's 320-567-2335, Comerford Construction and Gravel of Danvers, Minnesota.
China's and Dinner Theaters celebrates its 50th anniversary with the regional premiere of Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn.
Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right.
First an Academy Award-winning film starring Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby, now a brand new Broadway song and dance musical spectacular. Jim and Linda join forces and turn a farmhouse into a fabulous seasonal inn with show-stopping performances celebrating seven holidays from Thanksgiving to the 4th of July in the musical for all seasons.
We're having a heat wave.
Revel in a romantic comedy with sparkling dance numbers and a stunning showcase of 20 Irving Berlin tunes. Holiday Inn dazzles from start to finish. Don't miss Chinas and Dinner Theater's golden anniversary and Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn. Tickets at ChinasandDT.com.
You'll find limited-time Columbus Day savings at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Price rollback. Save up to $900 on select Serta iComfort memory foam mattress sets. You can get a Serta Galway plush queen set, just $399 during this sale. Free delivery, low price guarantee, low monthly payments available. They're your America's Mattress Center. Look them up online at americasmattress.com. Don't miss these limited-time Columbus Day savings at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center right downtown Madison, Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to girls' tennis. And not a real busy week, but a pretty successful week. You played against a very fine New London Spicer team. I think you came out on the short end there, but the girls played well. And then what a lot of people would say, kind of a mild upset on Wednesday against Montevideo when you went into section play.
Yeah, we had it was kind of a busy week. We, like you said, we started out Tuesday at New London, and I think that was a good tune-up for the gals. New London is a solid team. They're in a different section than we are, but they're rated second in their section. They're behind Litchfield. Litchfield's the number one public school in the state right now.
Okay.
New London's got a tough section over there, you know, and so ranked second in that section is pretty strong. We knew going in it would be a lot of work. They've got some very solid players over there. They've got a great coach over there, first name Beth, they've got an amazing program. I was visiting with her, and they've got 30 kids in their JV and another 30 in their middle school, plus 15 on varsity. So that's the kind of numbers you like for football or something like that.
Sure. Yeah.
But we ended up losing 5-2. We were able to pick up points at 1 and 2 doubles. Rachel Halverson and Jessica Sigdahl have just been, you know, a real solid first doubles team for us all season. And the same goes for Bree Kalup and Veda Maharaj at 2 doubles. I think Veda and Bree have only lost one in our whole conference. So they had a really a good match. Anna Hacker, Addie Oy, Caitlin Whitnable, and Jade Bukowski played the 1 through 4 singles for us. And we lost all the way across those points. And then three doubles for us with Sarah Halverson, and Maddie Matthews is back in the lineup for us after an injury, and she's playing some doubles to try to take it a little easier on her. And she and Sarah did a good job. They went to three sets but weren't able to pull out the win there. So both of those two, they're an eighth and ninth grader playing three doubles for us, so excited for them down the road here.
Good.
And then we moved over to Thursday, right? And like you said, Dick, you know, we were ranked. This was our first section match, and, you know, we lose, we're done. Monty, we ended up losing to Monty 5-2 earlier, actually just a week earlier in the season. So kind of nice having had a chance to see them already recently and know how they play and try to come up with a game plan. And the gals did a great job just getting out there and doing what they had to do to pick up the win. So Anna Hacker at 1 singles and Addie Oya at 2 singles really had outstanding matches. They're the ones that we had lost to Monty previously, and the ones that we were able to flip our direction this time. Anna won 7-6, 6-3 against Corey, who at this point in our section is our number two player probably. So did a nice job that way. And Addie, after losing 6-0, 6-4 to Emily Brace just, like I said, a week earlier, came out and beat her 6-2, 7-5. So Addie played a strong game. Both of them really mentally, you know, I think, just like any sport, you've got to stay focused and you've got to stay calm, kind of stable. You can't let those bad shots, those of bad decisions you make, that we all make during the course of a match or competition, kind of derail you. So they both did a good job staying on track that way. Caitlin Whitnable is an 8th grader playing 3 singles for us. You know, she lost 6-0, 6-1 to Lauren Kluber, the 10th grader at Monty. But Caitlin had a nice match. You know, I always tell the gals, don't focus on the scores. It doesn't tell the story. It's just one snapshot. And Caitlin had a lot of points, you know, 8-10 shots into the points, and then just not able to close out and missing by a little bit, but really excited to see what she's got coming down the road. And Jade Bukowski's done a nice job in 4th singles. We've asked her to step in and play that after Maddie got hurt. You know, Jade, this is her second year out for tennis, so she's an 11th grader, but kind of new to tennis and doing a nice job. I think Jade's one of the quickest gals we have on the team, so she gets a lot of balls, you know, and working on that consistency. So did a nice job there. And then Rachel Halverson and Jessica Sigdahl, again, our number one doubles, very consistent for us. They were one of the points we won previously against Monty, and again, you know, able to come through very nicely for us. They did a great job. Picked up the win 6-4, 6-1. Bree Koloff and Veda Maharaj, also, again, are, like I mentioned, two doubles, just solid, and have done a great job working together. Picked up the win 6-3, 6-3 in their two sets. And then Sarah Halverson, Madeline Matthews, ended up losing. Their first set was 6-1, but, boy, they lost the second set 7-6 in a tiebreaker. You know, just really turned things around. And like I mentioned, Maddie's new to doubles, so, you know, I don't feel it's fair. Sometimes when you're starting out in tennis, you get put over in those double sides, and there's a lot more strategy and movement involved in doubles than there is in singles. So Maddie's doing a good job learning that. And Kylie Wendiger and Ashton Kittleson were our exhibition players. They're a 4th doubles team that day. And Ashton, great attitude, hustles for the ball. And Kylie, too, a second-year tennis player. So, you know, picking up the skills and learning. So they're doing a nice job there for us.
Good. Yep. Well, that puts you into next week, into the team and a busy week, individuals all in 1 week.
Right, yeah. So we've got, so next week we play the next round of team, which is now up at Courts Plus in Fargo, moved from St. Cloud. And it's just, they've got 7 courts available versus 4, which is just exactly what you want. You can get all 7 of your matches on at the same time, so you're not having to stagger them, and instead of it taking 4 hours to get a match done, you can get it done in 2, which is just great because
yeah.
Nice for the girls. So we play that on Tuesday at 9 a.m. up at Courts Plus in Fargo. If we win, then we would play later that day. And we've got to win twice on Tuesday to get to state. So
okay.
We've got some tough competition. Minnewaska's there, and Osakis, both are state-ranked teams right now in the top 10. So they're solid. The other team heading that direction is Benson. If we win, we get to play again. If we lose, our season's done, and that's it for us as a team.
And that's at what time?
Yeah, that's 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning at Courts Plus in Fargo, North Dakota.
And you're playing who? Which team?
Yep. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks, Nick. We play Minnewaska at 9 a.m. We're lined up against Waska.
And then Benson and Osakis.
Yep, Benson and Osakis follow us, and then the winners play after that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for help. And then the next day is individuals. So we're planning to just stay up there Tuesday night to Wednesday morning because we're playing at Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., same location, Courts Plus in Fargo. And the way it's going to work is it looks like singles are going to play at 9 a.m. So they'll fill the courts first, and then first round of doubles will fill the courts after. So we'll have singles on at 9 a.m. and doubles, I'm sure, will be playing by, you know, probably depending on those singles matches go, could be 10:30, maybe 11, but they'll all be on the courts about then playing. And then after that, and it's the same as true as individuals, as team. If you lose in individuals, you're done. If you win, you get to keep playing. So there could be 2 matches for you in individuals on Wednesday. So we start with 16 entries into the doubles field and 16 entries into the singles field, and 4 of those will come out of each side and play the following Tuesday again. So you got about a week. So if you can get past that Wednesday, then you got about almost another week, 6 days under your belt until you play again.
Okay.
And then out of that field, two will go to state for doubles and 2 will go to state for singles.
Do you know who your doubles and singles players will be at this point?
I'm not sure. We're not – well, right now, Anna Hacker and Addie Oy have been playing singles for us, and Jessica Sigdahl, Rachel Halverson, one doubles. We call up in Veda Maharaj, two doubles. So I'm thinking we'll probably stick with that, although I haven't talked to all the gals, and we don't have it – we don't have that solid yet. So we've been too busy playing team and kind of working on our strategies and other things right now. So we'll have to have that sorted out by Monday, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't never want to put the cart before the horse, so.
Right, exactly. That's right.
So, obviously, you will do the seeding probably Monday night or early Tuesday or Tuesday or early Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, yep. So, for individuals, we're going to seed. There's a meeting up there Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for coaches, which is great because we've always seeded in the morning, and that's always hard to know how that's going to work out. But you know what? We're on a new reporting website called Tennis Reporting, which actually you have to enter every player's individual scores and opponents, and it just tabulates everything for you. So hopefully this will make seeding pretty easy because it'll be pretty objective rather than subjective and people arguing for positions. So,
okay.
But anyhow, that'll happen Tuesday night at 8 p.m.
Okay. Well, thanks for the talk this morning. Certainly congratulations on advancing to the next round of team, and you never know. That's why you play the game. And also going into the individuals, and we'll talk about both next Saturday morning.
Thanks, Dick. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks much.
Okay, that's Dr. Brand Hacker on tennis. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Happy fall from all of us at Hughes Real Estate Services. Thinking of selling your home now or in the future and interested in knowing what the selling process is all about? Then join us, our Hughes Real Estate team, on Thursday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the Dawson Community Center. We will help you walk through the steps of selling your home, including the costs to close, what are required costs from you as a seller, and what are negotiable. Disclosure requirements, what you need to tell buyers about your home. The realtor's role, how we make your life a whole lot easier. The simple, fun staging tips and ideas that are always important in making your buyer welcomed into your home. Yes, the Hughes Real Estate team looks forward to seeing you on Thursday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the Dawson Community Center.
Every American farmer works hard. It's a given. And at Golden Harvest Seed Company, we believe that seed performance should be a given too. We are rooted in genetics, agronomy, and service to help you deliver a better performance in each of your fields. Your success is our success, so put us to work for you. Visit goldenharvestseeds.com or contact your local Golden Harvest Seed Advisor today. For Cambie area, contact Cody Morris with Tri-County Ag at 507-530-1567.
This is Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. Join me Tuesday night from Dawson Boyd High School as the Blackjacks host the La Caparra Valley Eagles in a Camden Conference volleyball matchup. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Dawson Boyd and La Caparra Valley volleyball teams have come together with a Together We Fight fundraiser for the La Caparra Hope Network. So join me Tuesday for volleyball. It's the Blackjacks and the Eagles. 7:30 first serve right here on Q92.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to volleyball. And Ainsley is with me, Ainsley Anderson. And you had a tough week this week, but you started the week last Saturday, a week ago, in a tournament in Milbank. How'd that go?
It went well. It was just a regular game, so it was a C-Squad JV varsity game that we played on a Saturday instead of on a Tuesday, Thursday. We played well. We played right with them. We did end up losing in three. We were missing one of our key players. We were missing Haley Wolfslager. She had some previous engagement that day, so we were missing her. So our rotation was kind of off, but Tori Bungarden stepped up, and she played in an outside position for us in that game and played really well. Lindsay Kranz and Savannah Dufresne both played really well. They were our leading killers with five kills apiece. And Josie Munsterman got 20 set assists that game, so she played really well, and she also did really well on defense with 16 digs. She was our lead for digs that night, or that afternoon, I should say. But yeah, we played with them. They were close games. It was 20-25,
21-25, and 24-26. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, really close. That could have turned, turned around in a hurry.
Yeah, that third set was really, really close. We were both at 24, and then they just, we couldn't get those last 2 points to fall on our side. So it was a tough loss because they did play really well, but we were just lacking some energy. Our smarts were there, but we were just kind of quiet and not really the most excited people on the court that day.
Okay. Was there a B squad and C squad that day as well?
Yes. We all three squads did not win, but okay. They all played pretty well.
Okay. Well, then two matches this this past week, both at home, conference foes and against good teams. First off, McGray, and then Yellow Medicine East.
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, we hosted McRae, and it was really nice to have two home games this week after two or three away games last week. Our C squad and JV ended up beating McRae. They won their sets. The JV won 25-19. Oops, hold on, wrong one. The JV won in two, which was really good for them. Our JV and C squad have been playing really well the last few games. For varsity, we lost in three, 11-25, 15-25, and 14-25. They just really kind of picked apart our defense, and we were kind of off that game. We gave up a lot of free balls and a lot of passes that went outside the court on their side. So Josie Munsterman, our setter, was actually our leading killer, too. She got three kills. She was really smart with the ball that night. She was putting it where she thought she needed to, and she dumped it a few times to get a few kills. And then Haley Wolfslager had eight digs, and she had the most for that night. But yeah, McRae's a very, very smart team, and they were able to see where our holes were. And then we just couldn't quite get it there. But the girls had a few really good rallies.
Yes.
But at the end of them, again, the ball just didn't fall in our favor, or we made just a little mistake that gave McRae the point.
Okay. And then Thursday?
And then on Thursday, we played YME, and it was the same kind of deal where we came out and we had energy and we were excited, and then we just kind of lost it. It was our senior night, so it was kind of a bummer for the girls. I know they really wanted to pull off a win there. We lost, or the JV and C squad both won in two.
Good.
The JV won 25-19 and 25-15, so they played very, very well. And then varsity scores were 25-17, 25-13, and 25-11. We had a couple girls step up. I don't have all of the stats for the YME game yet, but Tori Bungarden stepped up into a middle position to kind of help us out, and then Macy Lund stepped into a back row position to help us get some of those digs, and serve receive was something that we were struggling on. So it's nice to be able to pull some girls from the bench into positions that we need to.
Okay. Then today you have a B squad tournament down in Mineota. That's a good experience for them against some pretty good teams, so be interesting to see how they do tomorrow, because they had a great week this past week. And then next week, a couple matches, one on the road and then one at home.
Yeah, we'll play Dawson on Tuesday for their Dick Pink night in Dawson. And that's always one of our most exciting games. The girls really love playing against Dawson. And then we play Ortonville at home. And that's our Dick Pink night. So
okay. And I think Paul will be there on Tuesday to broadcast that match with the Eagles and the Blackjacks, and you can throw away the record books there because a good rivalry, good clean rivalry, and never know how that's going to come out. So best of luck, and do both teams have CB and varsity, Dawson and Ordinville?
Yep.
Okay, so good luck with all three teams on both those matches, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Yeah, and you as well. That's Ainsley Anderson on volleyball. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
This is Deanna, a mammography technologist from Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital, reminding you that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. Remember, regular mammograms are the gold standard for early detection, along with performing self-examinations. CCMH now offers the latest in breast cancer detection with the installation of innovative 3D mammography equipment. For more information about 3D mammography or to schedule an appointment, please call us at 320-321-8145.
The work is done and it's time for fun. We at Hughes Real Estate and Auction Service cordially invite you to attend our grand opening of our newest office location in Montevideo. Throughout the months, you've watched the process take place, and now it's time to celebrate. On Thursday, November 1st, from 4 to 7 p.m., we cordially invite you to attend, to check out the office, meet our Hughes Real Estate team, and enjoy our appetizers and refreshments. Hughes Real Estate and Auction Service is located at 613 West Highway 212. See you there.
Back at the radio station for the Culture Show. That about wraps up the coaches for the fall. Nice job by all the coaches. Things are going by smoothly here and fast. Gosh, two football games left. The tennis team is in section play right now and soon to be the cross-country team as well, and volleyball as well. Well, I got been gone for a week or so, a couple of weeks. I got three Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. They're just short one-liners. If you're normally a meat eater and you want to turn to become a vegetarian, it could be a big missed steak. And second one, crushed pop cans is soda pressing. And finally, if you're looking for, we all know what puns are, in search of a fresh vegetable, let us know. That wraps up another show here in Eagle Country. Thanks for listening, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.